Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our text is the Holy Gospel from St. Matthew. When Lutheran worship came out in 1982, some objected to a particular collect because the prayer at the birth of a child contained these words: Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary and Joseph. They saw that as denying the virgin birth of our Lord because of the mention of Joseph. Perhaps that's why the title of this day is Saint Joseph, Guardian of Jesus, so as to avoid any hint that Joseph might be called the biological father of Jesus. I thought that this criticism was far-fetched then, and I still do. Joseph is more than merely the guardian of Jesus. Joseph acts like a real father. Joseph was really a remarkable saint. He simply does what the angel tells him to do. He can't be compared to Mary. He's never front and center. You never see him in the front of the pictures when the whole Holy Family is present. Mary gets to speak her Magnificat, but Joseph's only recorded words are, well, there aren't any. Whenever he's mentioned, it seems to be only in passing. He's listed as the supposed father of Jesus. That's how Luke lists him in the genealogy. And Jesus is sometimes referred to as the son of Joseph. But that referral always seems to be in an amazing kind of way, such as when Jesus preached at Nazareth and all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Nobody expected anything out of Joseph's son because evidently there was nothing special about Joseph. Like father, like son. But there is something special about Joseph. He willingly assumed his God-given vocation as the guardian of Jesus. But Joseph is more than guardian. He really acts as a father to Jesus. The people considered Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father. And I like that idea because Joseph did everything that an earthly father should do. He took responsibility for Jesus. He guarded and protected him from all danger and harm. He taught Jesus a trade, even though he knew what Jesus was going to do in life, that is, go to the cross. Joseph taught Jesus to be a carpenter. He taught him as a father does his son. He did what fathers are supposed to do, and that is, he modeled vocation. By contrast, many fathers today never model vocation. First, they should be married to their mothers. A few weeks ago, it was revealed that Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, impregnated his girlfriend before they broke up. He confirmed that he's going to be a dad, at least biologically speaking. And then a couple of weeks later, it was revealed that he also impregnated his new girlfriend, one of the Victoria's Secret supermodels. So he's going to be a dad again. At least this is how the press plays it out. But how will the Tom Bradys of this world really be father to their children when most of them are physically absent from the home? And where was the father of Anna Nicole or Brittany or any of the other Pop-Tarts who dominate the news these days? Recent studies indicate that the most important thing for young girls to have in growing to be emotionally healthy, functioning women, adults, is to have a functioning father. And one of the reasons why these women are so infamous is because they did not have fathers who actually functioned as fathers. And the same is true for boys with absentee fathers. It's easy to be a biological father, but it is not always so easy to be a father in the biblical sense. Joseph exemplifies true fatherhood for us. Joseph provided a stable home in which Jesus grew up. He provided him food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home. You know the list from Luther. All of the things that a father should provide. He provided Jesus with protection in taking him to Egypt until the murderous Herod was gone from the scene. He didn't complain about the lack of income that the trip entailed or that he had to leave home and go to a foreign land. He simply did it because God commanded him to take Jesus to a safe place. He provided safety for this infant who was dependent upon his fatherhood. His earthly fatherhood is so seamless that no earthly person other than Mary ever suspected that Joseph was not our Lord's biological father. Most importantly, Joseph taught Jesus the scriptures and taught him how to worship properly. Luke tells us that Joseph packed up the family every year and celebrated Passover in Jerusalem. It was family custom, Luke tells us. Jesus learned how to worship from this man, this Joseph, this fellow who doesn't have a single recorded word in Holy Scripture. Jesus learned from Joseph that it was important to come to the temple, the place of God's presence, on a regular basis, and to go to the synagogue. Joseph taught Jesus what it meant to live a pious, godly life. How many fathers do that today? Please note that both the scriptures and Luther's small catechism place the responsibility for teaching children on fathers. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And then Luther begins every section of the small catechism with the heading, "As the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household." Would to God that earthly fathers today, especially Christian fathers, and even more so the fathers in our own synod, followed Joseph's holy example in teaching their children the scriptures and the small catechism and bringing them to the divine service regularly. But sadly, many of our fathers have abdicated their responsibilities in bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They take neither responsibility for the Christian education of their children, nor do they attend the divine service. But Joseph did. Perhaps we have underestimated Joseph's contribution to the story of salvation. This certainly doesn't discount Jesus' connection to his heavenly Father, but certainly from a human perspective, Jesus learned the scriptures and learned how to worship from Joseph, this man who truly fulfilled his vocation as father and not merely as guardian. Joseph patterned the godly life for Jesus. Joseph was simply a pious, unassuming man whose contribution to us is rather enormous. By his fatherly vocation, Joseph reflects our Heavenly Father's care of us, both the first article and the second article. But yet there wasn't anything spectacular about Joseph. He didn't die a martyr's death. He simply disappeared from the scene. And we can only speculate about what happened to him. Like John the Baptizer, he merely decreased. We would say he faded away. And I suppose that if we were conducting his funeral, we could stand over his casket and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been a godly father." His faithfulness in a supporting role cannot be underestimated, and perhaps he should be more prominently displayed as the example for all Christian fathers today. He shows us God's will for earthly fathers by the way he does what God commands him to do, and he exemplifies what earthly fathers ought to be and do. He served in his fatherly vocation in a God-pleasing way by caring for Jesus and teaching Jesus. As Joseph was watching over Jesus, he himself was being guarded by the Father in heaven. And all the while, God himself was at work through human agency. Perhaps the fact that there is a Joseph is another proof that God does not abandon us in the dangers and the trials of our lives. For Joseph reflects our Heavenly Father's loving care of us. So it is today, even in the church, as God does his work through pastors, men called to guard and protect the precious possession of Christ, the church, that in this sense, pastors certainly are fathers, Josephs, if you will, to their flocks. They do this because God has called them to it, and they often serve humbly just as Joseph. And yet through their service, God's people are guarded and nourished by word and sacrament. We Lutherans have generally shied away from naming our sons after this man, maybe because the Roman Catholics seem to have a monopoly on the name. But perhaps it's high time for you of child fathering and childbearing years to reconsider this humble saint, this man who stands in the shadows and does the work of a true earthly father, and name a son after him. And may you fathers be a real Joseph to your sons and daughters, protecting, guiding, teaching, and showing a godly life to your children. The appointed verse for the day seems to be a pretty good summary. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.